night, and that is the problem of pride, the problem of pride. Now, you may be thinking, pride is not really a problem. Oh, it's a big problem, friend. It's a big problem in all of our lives. I think there's not a Christian, there's not an individual that is not listening to this live stream tonight that doesn't have or struggle with the problem of pride. Pride is a huge problem in our life each and every day. When Benjamin Franklin was 16 years old, he wrote a series of essays, which he published in the Courant, one of the first American newspapers, under the pen name Silence Do Good. The pen name most likely referenced Cotton Mather's book, Essays to Do Good, which Franklin read when he was only 11 years old. One night, Franklin slipped the first essay under the door of his brother James's printing shop, and it was well received by James's customers. When Franklin visited Mather's at his house several years later, the old minister could not have forgotten the Courant's attacks on him, especially after the vaccination controversy during a smallpox epidemic raging through Boston. Mather advocated vaccinations against the disease, something that he learned from his African slave. The Courant attacked Mather's on the issue and said it was an evil plot to spread smallpox and not to prevent it. See, I tell you, there are those types of stories throughout every century. In the 1700s, we have the same idea. Chatting with Franklin as they walked down the a hallway, Mather suddenly said to Franklin, he said, "Stoop, stoop." And immediately Franklin walked into a low ceiling beam. As Franklin gathered himself, Mather responded, "Let this be a caution to you, young Franklin, not always to hold your head so high. Stoop, young man, stoop as you go through this world, and you'll miss many hard thumps in your life." I think that this is really just a good way to begin my message this evening, because this is really the premise of what I want to talk about, and that is just simply talking about the problem of pride. And really, when we look at the problem of pride, I guess you could say a subtitle for my message would be choosing humility, because I believe that we need to make that choice every day of our life to choose humility over pride in our life. I don't know if you've ever had a time in your life where maybe you had some pride. Maybe you were kind of, you know, arrogant in your steps or your walk. And something happened in your life to just humble you. I mean, your balloon bursted big time. Maybe you're walking down, a street or a pathway or a hallway, and you know, you were thinking highly of yourself, thinking you were all of that and a bag of chips, and all of a sudden you slipped and you fell, and everyone was looking at you, and you know, your world kind of came crashing down, and your opinion of yourself came crashing down. I think times like that, I think the Lord just smiles in heaven when those events happen in our life. I think they're important in our life. They keep us humble, and they keep us having a proper perspective of our life. Pride is an attitude that causes us to credit ourselves for our accomplishments and to blame others for our failures. I think that's just a great way to define really the premise of pride. Pride is what comes into our life where we begin to credit ourselves for our accomplishments and we blame other people for our failures. Now, humility, on the other hand, is the attitude that views both our accomplishments and our failures. Because listen, you're never going to live your life without failures. Failures are so important to help us to build ourselves and to look to the Lord and to grow. We learn so much more from our failures than our accomplishments. But to have humility is to realize that our accomplishments and our failures, it's seeing both our accomplishments and our failures from God's perspective. And so we need to be humble. And so I want to just give you some really quick thoughts here this evening on pride and this problem of pride that we all struggle with and how we can overcome it in our life. Let me move this microphone here and we'll begin looking at these thoughts. So first of all, I want us to think about, if we could, number one, that's pride versus humility. Pride versus humility. Now, when we look at the Bible, the Word of God has much to say about both pride and humility. The Bible says, first of all, that pride is not only deceitful, but is also dangerous in our life. The Bible says this in Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's strong language right there in the Word of God. Everyone who has a proud, who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 16, 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 21, 4, the Bible says, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. James chapter 4, as we move into the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So pride in our life is very destructive. And the Bible says that a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. It is sin, it is wrong, it is wicked. No matter which angle you look at it, God hates pride. God hates pride. But, you know, when we look at the contrast of pride, and we think of the humility, what the Bible says about humility, there are great verses in the Bible that promote success in the Christian life when we are humble. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16, 19 says, better is it to be of an humble spirit than the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. For all those things have mine hand made, Isaiah 66, 2, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Now, the Bible's not saying that God's going to look at those who are physically poor, but the thought is there of a poor spirit or a contrite spirit. The Bible says, one that trembleth at my word has reverence for the word of God, listens to what God has to say. That's the idea of a poor spirit, of a contrite spirit, is someone who bows a knee to God the Creator. God looketh to that individual. God pays attention to that type of individual. God resists the proud, but God gives attention to the humble. The Bible says in Matthew 23, 11, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. There's not an area of your life, there's not a part of your life that we shouldn't involve a humble heart toward. The Bible says, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might that he may exalt you in due time. So I think we understand what the Bible has to say about pride and its destruction in our life. I mean, I think we get the idea that God lifts the one who is humble, and God resists the one who has pride in their life. It is an abomination to God. It is sin. It is wrong. It is destructive. And you may be deceived thinking you don't have pride. And if you're looking at listening to this message or watching this message tonight, and you're like, well, you know what? Pride is not my problem. Then you are deceived by pride. Because there's not an individual that's listening to this message tonight that doesn't struggle with pride. I mean, the very moment that you think you got pride under control and you start to pat yourself on the back thinking, I'm so humble, then what happens? Pride takes over and, you know, you have to start from the beginning again. So it's a hard battle, but we are overcomers. Remember our message, our series, we're problem solvers. And God gives us the answers in how we can overcome this problem in our life. So what is the problem? Number two, what is the problem with pride? Why does the Bible condemn it so? Why does God hate pride so much? Why is pride at the top of the list of the seven deadly sins mentioned in Proverbs 6? Now remember the definition I told you of pride at the very beginning of this Bible study. It is the attitude that credits ourselves with our successes and blames others with our failures. And such an attitude is the root cause of so many problems that we have in our life. You see, we often look at the surface of what's happening in our life, but if we dig down deep, what we're seeing is just the symptom of a greater problem. It's the root of bitterness or the root of pride. And pride causes so many destructive attitudes in our life. And I want to think about some of these, if we could, tonight. First of all, let's think about this, the lack of thankfulness. The lack of thankfulness. When you go through a day and don't take time in your life to acknowledge God, you spend the entire day and not take one moment to pray, not take one moment to talk to God and to thank God for all He's done for us. When you spend an entire day not acknowledging God, what do you think the root of that is? You say, well, it's not being thankful. Well, wait a minute. What's the root? What's the foundational problem? It's pride. It's pride. Pride prevents us from crediting God with the good things in our life. Instead, we reach the mistaken conclusion that whatever value we have in our life, whether it's our appearance or our abilities or our family or our possessions, that somehow we have reached those results on our own. We've accomplished that on our own. And such a conclusion, is understandable in the world that we live in, because our world today is filled with pride. Our culture worships individualism and self-effort. I mean, it's all around us everywhere we go. And Christians, if we are not careful, then we can get sucked into this thinking. And we can begin to live our life thinking that we've accomplished all of these wonderful gifts that we enjoy every day. That this is the fruit of our doing. This is the work of our effort. And God doesn't deserve any credit at all because I've accomplished this. I've done this. This is the lack of thankfulness. And at the very root of that, that ungrateful heart, is pride. Is pride. Now, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 7, look what the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Look what the scripture says. It says this, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Think about the advice that the Apostle Paul is giving in this passage of Scripture. Paul advises in the Scripture that whatever good thing we have in our life ultimately is a gift from God. And that we glory not in our own effort. We glory not because we've accomplished these things, but we glory because this is from the Lord. This is what the Bible's teaching us. And it's easy for us just to get caught away in the culture that we live in. And really that pride that's presented over and over again. Let's think about our appearance for just a moment. Our appearance. Perhaps we pride ourselves in our appearance. And there are people who spend so much time looking at themselves and priding at what they look like. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think we should take care of ourselves. I think we should work hard. And I think we should exercise and eat right. And all of those things, I believe, listen, we are stewards. We are stewards of our body. And the Bible says our spirit and our body belong to God. And so I think we ought to take care of ourselves. But there's a big difference with taking care of ourselves and being proud and being arrogant and looking at our appearance and it becoming, I'll just say it, it becoming an idol in our life. The Bible says, Psalm 139 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well." We are formed, we have been formed in our mother's womb, and we are formed by the hand of God. And we are perfect in God's eyes. We are perfect in God's eyes. And so listen, we can't get caught up in that culture of it's all about how I look and it's all about, listen, you know what the Bible says your focus ought to be? You ought to take care of yourself, and I understand all of that. But the Bible says it's the hidden man of the heart that's the most important. It's your walk with God that's number one. Number two, our abilities. We get the idea that our gifts are a result of years of practice. And I believe that we can squander the gifts or the talents that God has given to us. And I think we need to work hard and cultivating those talents. But the reality is every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. The talents and the abilities that you have, it is because of God. Because of God saw fit to give you those abilities in your life. Our children, we say, well, you know, our children, they are the result of biology and genetics. And we have the idea, well, you know, our children can do no wrong because they are from me. I hate to break it to you, but you're just not perfect. You know, that's the problem with your children. They come from us. They come from you. And you're a sinner and they're sinners. You know the problem with my children? The problem with my children is they like to lie and to steal and to cheat. They like to do those things because guess what? They have the same sinful nature that I have, and I also in my flesh like to do those things. So we can't proudly say, you know, and boast of our children that they are perfect in every way. That kind of root, it comes from pride. The reality is children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's what the Bible says. Our possessions. You probably heard this before. Well, I worked hard in my life. I worked hard. That's why I have what I have. And in a moment, God could take away the ability for you to work hard and you could have nothing. Listen, God has given to us the ability to do what we do. The ability to save or the ability to make the money that we make. And all of this is from the Lord. It is from God. I mean, the reality is all of these gifts are from the Lord. And listen, we can never take credit. That's the danger of pride. We begin to take credit for what God is doing in our life. Number two, what's the problem with pride? Well, it leads not only to a lack of thankfulness, but it leads to independence. You know, God desires our fellowship. Listen to me. Listen, God desires our fellowship, but God doesn't need our fellowship. God doesn't need us. We need God. We need God. You know, in human terminology, God is self-sufficient. The Bible says that he is the I am. He is the self-sufficient one. He existed before his creation. And this is why the Lord demands our gratitude. God's desire for our allegiance is based on his love. Listen to me. God created us with the inherent need to walk with him and to have fellowship with him. This is how we are fulfilled. We are created in the image of God. He made us that way. And so God's desire and God's demand for gratitude comes from a heart of love, because he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be complete. God made us in his image. And God wants us to have a relationship with him. God wants us to look to him for the needs of our life. But what happens when pride sneaks in our heart? Ingratitude, the result of pride, leads to independence. And then we spend days not kneeling, bowing, and praying. We spend hours not talking to God. Because of that root of pride, we just have the attitude, we don't need God. We don't need him. We have health, we have strength, we can work, we can make money. Why do we need God? Listen, this false conclusion was the basis of Lucifer's fall from heaven. Think about what the Bible says. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. The Bible says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And the Bible says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." God said, "Lucifer, you forgot this important truth that you are the creature and I am the creator." And Lucifer pushed God away from his life, and he failed to credit God for his beauty and his splendor. And because of that, pride entered into his heart. And the Bible says that we find in Isaiah 14, verse 13, this was Lucifer's declaration of independence. He said to God, "Listen, I will be you. I will be God. I will be lifted up. I will have all eyes on me." Pride is deceitful and dangerous. And independence is the belief that we are sufficient apart from God. And this root, if anyone has that symptom in their life where they're living their life, and this can come just in a moment of our life where we spend one day and 2 days and 3 days without bowing a knee, without talking to God, without acknowledging him in our life. Where does that come from? It comes from pride. Pride. Let me give you a third thought here. Intolerance. Intolerance. Now listen to what I'm going to say before you jump all over me here. When we examine the Gospels, we see that Jesus dealt very calmly with adulterers, thieves, and even murderers. Jesus' harshest words, listen to me, the harshest words from our Savior was towards self-righteous Pharisees. Their self-righteousness led to a hatred of other people and a false assumption that they were the only ones, could reach God's standard and please the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go." Such intolerance is a direct result of pride in someone's heart. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I think we should preach against sin. I think we should call sin, sin. I think we should take a stand. But I think we should also love people. And we should understand that God's working in the heart of people. And someone may not be as sanctified as you. But hey, listen, they're pressing the higher ground. And if they're reaching and they're growing and they're God is working in their life and they're responding to the work of God, then listen, we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord and not on other people. We just need to keep our eyes on our own race and not the race of other people. But pride causes intolerance. An inflated view of ourselves leads to a disdain of other people where we think, hey, we've made it. I just wish that they were like me. Can you imagine having that type of attitude? Listen, we need to be careful that we don't have the attitude like the Sunday school teacher who was telling the story about the Pharisees and the tax collector and said, "Children, let's take some time and let's bow our heads and let's thank the Lord that we're not like the Pharisee." Are we still back? Are we back? I just lost my microphone there. I think we're back again. I hope this is not your attitude. Let's look at, if we could, our next thought. Number four is contention. What does pride cause in someone's life? Pride causes contention. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, "Only by pride cometh contention." If you got contention in your home, if you got contention in your marriage, if you got contention in the church, that I'm going to tell you the reason, I'm going to tell you the root of why that contention is there, why that arguing is there, why that fighting is there. I'll tell you the root. Here's the root. It's pride. That's what the Bible says. Only the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Every fight, every bit of contention in a family. I'm just giving you the Bible here. The Bible says that it is caused by pride. And then number five here is the rejection of the grace of God. I think this is probably the greatest of all of the causes of pride in someone's life. And that is the rejection of God's working for salvation in someone's life. Listen, I don't know the numbers, but I know this, that there are a lot of people in hell today because of pride. Because of pride. If not all of them, because of pride. And this is so sad that people would reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would reject the gospel of Jesus Christ because of pride in their life. Jesus illustrated this truth in a story about the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18 to 23. And it's really an account here that leads many false conclusions about salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will read this passage of scripture and say, well, all the poor people go to heaven, or you have to keep the Ten Commandments in order to go to heaven. A lot of false conclusions about the gospel. But when we look at this passage of scripture, we read that the young ruler's unwillingness to sell all that he had was a symptom of a much deeper problem. And what Jesus was doing, he was revealing that problem, that heart issue in his life. You see, his self-righteousness was his issue. His pride was his issue. And after being reminded of the holiness of God, the ruler quickly replying that he had kept all of God's law. What an amazing statement to say to God, "I've kept your law. I've made it to your standard. The reality is that the law of God cannot be kept for an hour, more or less a lifetime. And the Bible says here that Jesus' request, his request of his wealth, was an attempt to demonstrate the young ruler's basic unrighteousness. The Bible says in Luke 18, verse 17, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God," this is the teaching of Jesus in the scripture, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Our mindset in our world today is that children need to be like adults before they can become Christians. But Jesus said, no, wait a minute. It's the opposite. An adult needs to be like a child before they can enter into the kingdom of God. A child usually has no problem admitting his need of a savior. A child will come in simple humility and bow a knee to the Lord. And yet we find adults struggle with that self-righteousness, and pride keeps them from the kingdom of God. Again, I believe this is the greatest symptom or the greatest result of pride in someone's life. So number three, let's bring this message to a conclusion if we could tonight. Let's land the plane. All right, here we go. How do we overcome pride? How do we overcome it? Well, listen, you'll never get to a spiritual place in your life where pride will not become a problem. You're never going to get to some height in the spiritual life or some height in spirituality that you'll never be tempted by pride. First of all, you'll never get to a place in your Christian life where you won't be tempted. Jesus was tempted. And remember, temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted yet without sin. You know, we'll never get to a place where we're not tempted to be proud. And there'll be times in our life where we will be tempted to be proud. But listen to me, we need to choose humility over pride. And I'm going to give you just some quick thoughts here I wrote down that maybe will help you. Number one, don't think of yourself too highly. Don't think of yourself too highly. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." You know, in the Christian life, here's what I'm finding, and I'm finding this even with the COVID-19 situation. People are just one extreme to the other. You know, and with the Christian life, when it comes to our perspective of ourselves, there are people who think themselves too highly of themselves. And then there's people who think of themselves too lowly of themselves. You know, they got the Eeyore, you know, syndrome where woe is me. You know, I'm no good. I'm useless. Listen, you're not useless. God has saved you. You're a part of the family of God. God has a purpose for your life. For you to call yourself useless or unsavable or all of those things, listen, that is an attack against our Savior. The Lord has saved you. Your sins are washed away. You're on your way to heaven. And so don't think of yourself as defeated, but don't think of yourself as all of that in a bag of chips. You got to think soberly. That's what the Bible says. You need to understand who you are in the Lord Jesus. And when the devil tries to, you know, put that in your mind that you are a blessing to God and that God is lucky to have you on his team and God would be lost if you weren't a Christian. Listen, if you have that attitude and you ever get that attitude or you head in that attitude, that is not put in your mind by the Holy Spirit. That is put there by the devil himself. And that will destroy you if you continue down that path. Because God, listen, God doesn't need you, but you need God. And you need to not think of yourself too highly. In a book, it's called Ego is the Enemy. And they write here that the the story is when you look back at the unlikely path to our successes. The narrative of our story is when you look at the unlikely path to our successes and say, I knew it all along. That's like someone looking at prophecy and saying, you know, when they're in the prophecy, saying, well, you know what, I knew it all along. The very word prophecy means to see before. You're not prophesying until you see before. The Word of God is a book of prophetic truths, but it's a lot easier to see the prophecy or the truth of prophecy when you're in the event than to look back and say, this event will take place, or this is how it's going to take place, or this is what's going to happen. And for someone to look at the narrative of their life and say, I knew it all along. Crafting out stories out of past events is a very human impulse, they say. But it is also dangerous and untrue. Writing our own narrative leads to arrogance. And it turns our life into a story, and it turns us into characters while we still have to live it. In other words, when we look at our life and we have that much pride in our life to think that we've dictated our course and we've made the decisions in our life and we brought the successes, you know, in our life and the failures we knew all along, but we were teaching ourselves some lessons, and the successes, well, we knew they were there too. If we have that attitude, then listen, we just think too highly of ourselves, because it's just not true at all. Our narrative is written by God and God alone. And God knows every detail of our life, and he knows that we need our failures, and he knows we need the successes. And God brings trials to bring us back to earth. All of the events of our life, they are all orchestrated by God. And at the end of the day, listen, we have nothing to do but to look to God. Don't think too highly of yourself. Number two, focus more on God than you do yourself. Spend time in meditation thinking about God. If you think more about your appearance and you think more about, you know, yourself, your career, all of those things, if you spend more time thinking about those things than God, then you might have a problem with pride. And to defeat pride, you got to acknowledge it. And you got to see that it's a problem. You need to spend time in prayer. Number three, we're talking about overcoming pride here. Yes, spend time in prayer. Prayer is the posture of humility toward God. And when pride is knocking at that door of your heart, then you need to let prayer open the door. And you need to talk to the Lord about it. Spend time talking to God. And then number four, you need to remember. Because if you're anything like me, God spends a lot of time teaching us to be humble. And if we would just remember those lessons, we'd all be better off. Why did Paul have a thorn in his flesh? Does anyone know? You can say it in the comments there. Why did God give him a thorn in his flesh? You know the answer. To keep him from pride. Because God said, Paul, I know you want this thorn removed, this ailment in your flesh, this sickness, this disease. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was blindness, but the Bible doesn't tell us. You want it removed. And I want you to be used. And I know what pride can do. All of the revelations that I've given you, all the opportunities that I've given you, Paul, listen, if I don't have and don't allow this thorn in your life, then pride will ultimately destroy you. And so I'm going to keep you humble, but my grace is sufficient for you. And so remember when God humbles us. Remember when God brings us back to earth, if I could say that. Because it's important for our spiritual growth. A great problem we have in all of our lives. There's not a person that's listening to this message that doesn't struggle with this, is pride. It's pride. And if you say, well, Pastor Burns, I don't have a pride problem. Yes, you do, because you're showing it right now. The reality is we need God's help to overcome. And we need the Lord to give us grace, to grow, to take those steps forward.